listening to Truth to You with Jono, and g'day wherever you may be around the world. It is good to have your company, and joining me in the studio, Hani. Say hello.
Hello.
And it is time for Cultured Pearls with the Cultured Karai. G'day, Deborah.
G'day. How are y'all doing today?
Doing very well, thank you, and marvellous to have you back on the program. Last week, Dev, you mentioned hybridization, and that brings me to a comment by Laurie Joe. G'day, Laurie Joe. And Laurie Joe says, just on a couple of things in regards to mingling seeds, she said, I think of horses bred with a donkey whose offspring is infertile. Like you said, do not eat seedless fruit.
Rather.
Sure, go on. Well, no, that's really the
That was it?
That's primarily what I wanted to highlight.
The point that you made last week, Dev, about being careful not to eat seedless fruit.
Mm. Right. That means that's been changed. That's not the way Yehovah created it.
That's right.
He created everything with seeds in it so it would reproduce.
And that's the point that Laurie Joe is making, is that a mule cannot, you can't have a herd of mules. They just won't breed. They are infertile. In the same way that you get your seedless watermelon or your seedless oranges or your seedless grapes. And a lot of people would be thinking, well, why is that a bad thing? It's still fruit, whether it's got seed in it. What's the problem? Well, I had to look it up, Dev. Do you know what the process is and how it works?
No, I don't.
I managed to get hold of some top secret information from this obscure website called Wikipedia or something. But it was cool. But it's really quite short. The details in regards to seedless fruit and the biology thereof. What it says here is seedless bananas and watermelon fruits are products on triploid plants whose three sets of chromosomes prevent, meiosis, from taking place, and thus the plant cannot produce fertile gametes. Seeded fruit. Yeah. See, now this is why Hani's here.
Let me just, this is why we're married.
This is why we're married, because... You know, it's no good when, I try to read stuff and it's on a computer there and it's just...
I think your brain runs ahead of what you're reading and you...
Anyway.
So some species such as pineapple and cucumber produce seedless fruit if not pollinated.
And it also takes the fun out of spitting watermelon.
Well, actually, we've been buying the seeded watermelon lately for obvious reasons. But
We didn't know. We buy locally, and there's a guy on the corner, and he's great. He produces all his own stuff. And he's got a farm there, and he has had the seedless and the seeded watermelons together, and we didn't know. And we didn't know the difference between them. And some of them he would sell in halves and some of them he would sell whole. And we'd look at the ones in half and we'd go, oh, look, it's got the little black seeds there. That's good, that seeded watermelon, so we'll take this one here. And then the one that we took home, it would just have those little tiny white seeds that you barely notice. And we're going, are we sure this is seedless? Is it seeded or what's wrong? And so after our discussion, Dev, last week, I thought we better just make sure that what we're getting, and it really made us think about grapes, and because that's in season here at the moment as well, and we realized most of the grapes that are available are seedless grapes. But we looked at the watermelon, and Charlie, the farmer on the corner, was there, and we said, now what's going on here? Because this one cut in half is black seed, but we took one home the other day and it didn't have the seed. And he goes, oh no, the round ones are seedless. Mm. The long ones are seeded. And we thought, right, so the round ones are crossed with something, it's hybridized with something, and it makes it seedless, but the long ones are seeded. So we took the long one and gave it to the kids, cut it all up, and Jonah just chewed up the seed with the watermelon. Mm. He had no problem with it.
That's what my husband does. Right. He eats orange seeds, watermelon seeds, apple seeds. It's just amazing.
Yeah, well, I have actually heard that it's good for you to do that.
Extra fiber. Yeah.
extra fiber. But it is true that quite often the case is that seeds will have different sets of vitamins and minerals that aren't necessarily in the flesh of the fruit.
But if I had an orange seed, it won't grow an orange tree in my stomach like my dad used to tell me.
That's what I used to be told all the time too.
Just live your childhood in fear of growing trees out of your belly button.
Yeah. I do know, I've heard that, for instance, apricot seeds have are very high in a vitamin B17, which I don't think occurs in a lot of other things, and that's supposed to be extremely good for you.
Yes. And I've been told on numerous occasions that it is said to be excellent in the fight against cancer.
I have heard that as well.
Yeah, so B17, it is in peach almonds inside the seed, also in any sort of stone fruit like that, and almonds as well, but most particularly in the apricot almond or apricot kernel inside the seed there.
Yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And I actually saw, Dev, I know we're skipping all over the place here at the moment, but how is your vanilla essence going?
It's going really, really well. I put it in the dark. They said to put it, you know, back in the dark, and I won't know for about a month if I need to put another bean in it or not. But so I'm excited about that, to make my own vanilla extract. So, really exciting.
You're using alcohol as the base?
Vodka. Yep. Yes. As a matter of fact, this is the interesting thing that I found out. And this is back when I thought that I had celiac disease, an actual, you know, full blown allergic reaction. As it turned out, it was just a gluten sensitivity. This is interesting. We're talking about this because I do get people saying, "Oh, I'm allergic to milk." No, they're not really allergic to milk. They have an intolerance to the lactose in the milk, but the kefir, you know, takes that out. But with vodka, I was trying to avoid everything. Well, most vodka is distilled from grain, and I think people just think, well, it's distilled from potatoes because of Russia, and it's they're famous for vodka, and they use potatoes, but. That's not true. Most vodka is distilled from grain. Really? And if you have some kind of intolerance like that, that's even going to affect you. Mm-hmm. Even though it's alcohol and it's distilled, however they do it, that still can affect you if you have a sensitivity to it. And I came across a vodka that is distilled in France from grapes.
Oh.
And I got really excited. And it actually does have a little bit of a different taste to it, very, very smooth taste to it. And that's the vodka I used to make my vanilla extract.
Right.
Interesting.
Yes.
It distilled from grapes.
Those are amazing. So you've really got to be careful because wheat is everywhere.
Isn't it what?
Yeah, it's amazing. You really have to learn to read, you know, your labels. And they have these websites that you can Google that have all of these chemical names that are on products. And you can look them up and find out what they really are. And so many times it'll have this big long name and it's actually just gluten, or it's actually just sugar, or it's actually just wheat. You know, it's amazing, these and of course, if I can't pronounce it, I'm not touching.
Yeah, that's always a good place to start. And people are always asking, you know, where do I start? Where do I start? There's a good rule of thumb to begin with. If you can't pronounce it, think twice. And I'm glad you mentioned websites that tell you what all the numbers are and what things are. Yes. What I'll do, remind me, I'll put a link for the listeners on this post so that they can go to a website and just find out what the good numbers, what the numbers that are okay, what the bad numbers are, that sort of thing. Vitally important to know. Then you can deal with it.
Yeah.
So don't freak out all at once. But of course, a lot of people are still asking you, Dev. A lot of people are asking you, where do I begin? What should I do? Just some of the basic questions of starting out with fermented vegetables and fruits and kefir and things like that. I want to get to some of those questions if you've got time for that. Before we do that, you've also had some comments, testimony sort of comments of people who have implemented some of the changes that you've suggested with very positive results. Are we able to, could you share some of those?
Oh, I will. This is really exciting. As a matter of fact, this lady, I'm trying to bring it up right now. There's this lady that posted on the program that aired this last time, and her name is...
That's funny language.
Karis.
Karis.
Hello, Karis. G'day, Karis. Thank you for writing. And she says that it was interesting what I said about asthma. She said, "My husband and I just started making and drinking kefir after listening to your first radio program, and we love it. One of the first positive reactions my husband had was relief from his mild asthma, which he had had since childhood."
Wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah. And that, you know, everything I've read about kefir, it will, you know, it affects asthma positively. Mm. It has left me asthma free, mm-hmm. Still to this good minute, and I'm very thankful for that. And I just believe, you know, that it's Jehovah showing us and helping us to get back to His ways and His path and the way He created things. And if I could tell anybody to start somewhere, I would say start by making your own kefir. Mm. That's gonna be the main key. That's gonna be the big punch. That's gonna help your arteries. That's gonna help get rid of all of the gut bacteria that's, you know, one of the things that's just come out recently, and I had posted on Facebook, they are confirming now that diabetes has the bad gut bacteria connection.
Yes.
And so that brings me to my next lady who wrote to me. She had written to me the end of February, and she had heard the radio program, I guess one of the first ones. She got real excited and she wrote to me, and she found just very close to her house a lady who raises goats. They're called Sa'anen.
Yes.
She has Sa'anen goats, and she has kefir.
Wow.
And so this new friend of mine got the kefir grains and the goat milk from this lady, and she's been making kefir ever since, and she has been taking care of her elderly father. Mm-hmm. And she wrote to me. She said he has diabetes, and evidently he was not to the point of insulin dependent. She said he was on a lot of medications, so I took it that he was not insulin dependent, but that he was in pretty bad shape, and she cares for him. His skin was bad. It had become very paper thin and very mottled, you know, with the dark spots and those kinds of things. And he, you know, he had good days and bad days. Well, she wrote briefly today. I guess, you know, she didn't really have a lot of time. She wrote briefly today, and she said, I just wanted to tell you, she said, keeping in touch with the results I promised. My dad's diabetes is not a problem any longer.
Oh, wow. What, not a problem at all?
She says, not a problem any longer.
Goodness me.
Oh, my gosh. I got so excited, and I got tears. I just thought, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. And he continues. Now, we're going to talk about this because I read something about this on Wheat Belly, and it's something I'm experiencing. He continues to regain the brown in his once all gray hair.
Huh.
His skin is looking much better too. Well, I know from other things that this lady wrote to me, I know that they have done either cut out all the wheat or cut it down, you know, very, very to a very, very small amount. She's, you know, really watching her father's diet, and she's obviously given him, she told me she was giving him kefir twice a day, mm-hmm. and he has improved dramatically. The diabetes is not a problem any longer. Nice. And it's because his gut health now is so improved.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's not getting the wheat or the sugar. So, but this hair, regaining the color in his once all gray hair. I read something on Wheat Belly about that.
Really?
A man wrote to Dr. Davis, and he said, I cut out all the wheat, all the sugar, I'm doing all this, and the color is coming back to my hair. And I guess he was taking pictures. Well, it has happened to me, maybe not on a great scale, but my husband, this is a couple of months ago when, you know, after we had started this, he said, your hair's getting darker. And I have all silver hair. Mm-hmm. And I said, that is not. And he said, oh, yeah, it is. And he took me in the bathroom where the lights were really strong, and I pulled my hair up, and there are places in my hair that are getting darker again.
Wow.
Isn't that? I don't know. That's just really, that's incredible.
And we know that gray hair is talked about in the Bible, so it's not like nobody ever had gray hair, you know.
In fact, I think it says somewhere, if I remember correctly, it might be Proverbs, that gray hair is a crown to the aged, or crown. I'm going to have to look that up. But
it's symbolic of wisdom and knowledge.
And experience.
It is. Yeah,
experience,
yeah.
It is. And maybe I'm just not quite wise yet.
Maybe you are looking wiser than before your time. Who knows?
But it's interesting because it's as if, you know, a lot of the cells are regaining, you know, their strength and getting that color back in there. Not that I don't expect to turn, you know, brown again, but it's interesting how that's happened. I am getting some much darker streaks in my hair. Really? It's just really fun.
So now I should let me throw in a disclaimer, because I just want to remind everyone, obviously we're not doctors or anything. This is not medical advice. If you have diabetes or if you have asthma, what we're not saying is stop taking your medication and just take kefir. What we are saying is add some kefir into your diet and see what positive results you experience. If you experience enough of a positive result, then maybe you can speak to your medical practitioner about lowering the dosages or whatever it is that you are taking or whatever it may be. So what we're saying is don't just stop straight away your medication and go on to kefir. But certainly there is no harm whatsoever in implementing kefir into your diet. It's probably, based on the testimonies of these people and our experience, it's going to have a positive result.
It definitely is. And that I'm living proof. I did not come off of my high blood pressure medicine until it became a problem where, you know, it was, you know, I was feeling drugged down, you know, every day. My blood pressure lowered to the point that I needed to stop taking it. But I didn't just stop. I implemented the kefir. I got off the wheat and sugar, implemented the whole foods. And over time, you know, it took a little bit of time, probably, you know, 6 or 8 weeks before I was able to stop that. Mm-hmm. And I did not, you know, stop the asthma medication. I needed it. I actually needed it. But I've been off of it 3 weeks today.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful news.
It's amazing.
And we've actually probably touched on this before. I'm sure we have. But also, just as you say, getting off the wheat and particularly for me, the sugar, the food just tastes better to me now. I can actually taste it, and I can taste the sweetness in a banana that I just didn't necessarily taste before when I was eating a lot of sugar.
And all of the sugar, because there's so much sugar in foods that it doesn't say sugar on the label. It'll say some kind of big long chemical name, but it's actually sugar. So you're getting what I call hidden sugars, or at least they're hidden to us. And so you're getting this massive, you know, dose. And your taste buds are desensitized. Yes. And when you allow them to wake back up, boy, they will. Let me tell you, they will. Ooh.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you mentioned before off air that there were still people asking a lot of questions in the just about the basics of kefir and the basics of fermenting food. Did you want to address any of those?
Well, yeah, just to say that I really advise anyone to start making their own kefir, their milk kefir in particular. And, you know, if there are people that eventually are even, you know, starting out could handle the water kefir, which has more sugar in it. But I would definitely advise the milk kefir to start with, because that's actually good for infants all the way through. You can give a dropper full to an infant, and that will really help their gut health. And even babies that are, you know, nursing babies, they can the mama needs it especially, and the baby can be given a dropper full, a time or two a day. That's really the place to start, I think, for everybody, because I think it's actually the key. I think it's so important. There's list after list on the internet of what people report has happened to them after beginning the milk kefir. And I think it's a real key. But I don't want to diminish getting rid of the wheat or the sugar. But once you start on the milk kefir, and this is why I think it's, you know, really important for a basic, is that's what's going to cut your cravings for wheat and sugar.
Mm, yep.
That's what's going to help you the most to get off of the wheat and sugar merry-go-round.
Because it does actually, for me, it decreases my appetite. I can have a glass of kefir in the morning and I won't be hungry until hours later.
Uh-huh.
Us too. Well, we do the kefir smoothie with a raw egg in it and some fruit. And boy, I'm good to go till lunch. Yeah. And that's another thing. You know, I think we have gotten so I don't know, Pavlov's dog is what it reminds me of. You know, it's okay, it's 8 o'clock, I've got to have breakfast. Yep. Okay, it's 12 noon, I have to have lunch. And it's, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock, I have to have my snack. And it's 6 o'clock, I have to have dinner.
Oh, look, honestly, I think that's a result of school.
Yeah, probably is.
Well, it probably is. Yeah. But the sad part about it is there's a lot of people that are eating at those times and they're not really even hungry. They're not paying to their stomach, and is it really growling? Is it really hungry? You know, do you feel weak? You know, people are eating on some kind of time schedule that's not necessarily good for them, or that they're even really hungry.
Well, that's right. I mean, I actually see it in my kids from time to time. You know, they'll come to me and say, "I'm hungry," and I'll just go, "No, you're not hungry. You're bored. Let's go think of something to do."
Well, and you know, this is absolutely the truth. Yeah. A lot of people will say, "I'm hungry," and they're not. Mm. They're actually thirsty.
They're thirsty.
And we need to drink a lot more good quality water. I don't think people drink enough water, and I don't think they realize, you know, how much they really should be drinking, and that a lot of times their thoughts of hunger are nothing more than thirst.
All right, now can I pick on the fungi for a little while, because you told me a story about Zev, because you know a lot of people say to me when I talk about, you know, you got to drink more water, you got to drink water, water, water. I drink water. I drink, you know, a cup of tea. I drink a cup of coffee. I have a couple of cups of coffee in the day. What do you want? Yeah, but that's not hydrating you. That is dehydrating you, because it takes more water out of your system. Can you share a little bit about Zeb's experiences lately with his coffee?
Oh, bless his heart. He's been a coffee drinker for many, many years. And, you know, he'll say, "Oh, I drink a pot a day." That's not true. He could drink 2 and 3 pots a day. And on a lot of days he did, because he would make a pot and he would put it in a thermos. He'd make another pot and he'd drink that. And then, of course, later on in the day, then he'd start hitting the thermos. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he really realized, you know, how much coffee he was drinking. And we came across some fascinating videos on YouTube, and this doctor who's done an amazing amount of work. He's actually a psychiatrist who stood up one day in medical school and said, "Why don't psychiatrists look at the brain?" And, you know, everybody was like, sit down. And so he's actually a psychiatrist. His name is Daniel Amen, A-M-E-N. We would say amen, but he pronounces it amen. And he has done amazing amounts of work with brain scans and showing people what coffee will do to your brain. And it's horrible. Yeah. It's absolutely, there's people with holes in their brain from drinking coffee.
Oh my goodness.
And they don't even know it, you know. And he's and that's not even to mention what alcohol and drugs do. It's really a horrible thing. But his studies and his work is just absolutely fascinating. And it's interesting because he recommends everything that we recommend as far as your brain health. And that's really interesting. So when my husband saw this information that Dr. Amen was showing, he said, I'm coming off of the coffee. This is awful."
He said he's going to come off altogether. I mean, now that you've sort of done that research, would you say that one cup of coffee a day is a bad thing?
No, Dr. Amen says, you know, one is okay. Cool. He said, but he says if you can stop it altogether, that's great. But he says one cup a day is not going to kill you, but more than that can become a problem. And so my husband said, I don't want these problems. You know, I'm changing all these areas of my life and I'm feeling good, so let's get rid of that. Well, he did, and he started drinking, you know, massive amounts of water, much more amounts of water. And boy, he got sick. He got really, and not sick like I did, but he got, it was as if the, his bones and his spinal fluids were like getting rid of toxins. And that was really scary for him. I mean, he literally hurt. It was sort of like coming down with the flu, only much, much worse. His legs hurt, his back hurt, his lower back. He got, you know, severe headache. It was terrible.
So it sounds like some sort of drug detox or something.
Well, but it is, yeah. though, isn't it? I mean, it's a caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine. Yeah.
Because now I remember when I decided I was going to go caffeine free, and I was drinking, I think, one cup of coffee and maybe a couple of cups of black tea a day. And I thought, oh, let's do a caffeine detox. So I did. And it was about a week. Oh, not even quite a week of a dull headache, but that's really, and maybe I was a bit moody, and that's probably all it was. But Zeb, who's been having, you know, one or two or maybe even three pots of coffee a day, really did cold turkey pretty hard.
Yeah, he did. And but you know, he's over it now. He's glad he did it. He doesn't look back and hasn't, you know, really, he hasn't craved it. He's been really great.
So is he caffeine free now?
He is.
Oh wow.
He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what does he think? What does he say about it?
Well, he feels so much better. And, you know, that's and he's like, you know, it's not something that you really need. That becomes a mind thing. Mm-hmm. That it becomes kind of almost a mind game. Oh, I really need this. I'm sleepy in the morning. I need to wake up. Yeah. Well, no, you don't. You know, you'll get going eventually. You don't have to have that. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, he's really feeling so much better now, and you know, the water is just doing him.
So he's drinking more water.
Much.
And so he's more hydrated, right?
He is completely. Yeah.
And it is continually flushing out his system, and he's continually hydrated, which is a much more obviously positive form to be in. And so that.
For all of us, yes.
Yeah. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because I have heard on a number of occasions people say, oh, you know, I have a Coke or I have a coffee or I have a black tea and various teas that have caffeine, which will take fluid out of the body rather than replenish the fluid in the body. So I just thought we'd elaborate on that, because you're absolutely right, Deb, when you say that we all need to be drinking much more water. And for myself, I've actually got my bottle of water in front of me. It's just a 1.5 liter bottle that I just keep filled. And if you have it with you all the time, you just carry around a bottle whenever it's convenient, at least, or have it around the house, you're going to find that you're going to be drinking from it more and more often. And a larger bottle is going to be able to show you how much you are, in fact, taking in each day or every couple of days. So it's a good habit to get into.
It's extremely good. You know, but I don't think people realize that when they drink a soda, even just one, not only does it dehydrate you, because especially if it's got caffeine in it, but the carbonation in it leaches the calcium from your bones.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a double whammy all the way around. And if you're drinking some kind of soda that has what do you call those chemicals, sweeteners, aspartame sucralose, those things damage your bladder. Yeah. And there has been studies that, I don't know that it's a complete link to bladder cancer, but that's been mentioned that those chemical sweeteners have been linked with bladder cancer.
Yeah.
This is
it's just bad. Yeah.
It's terribly sad, because you see people who are clearly obese, I so often see in the supermarket, and they go down that aisle, and instead of getting the regular cola, they'll get the chemical sweetener cola, thinking that they've done themselves something, they've made a positive choice.
Mm.
You know, and this is the sad and sorry state that
this is what the advertising will tell them.
Yeah, that they've made a positive choice in choosing chemical sweetener instead of and where in actual fact they should get out of that aisle, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. They should only stay on the perimeter of the grocery store. You should never go down an aisle.
I know.
Except
maybe salt.
Yes.
Salt are the only two things I can think of.
All right. So.
Because in the future, Honey and I are going to teach people how to make their own laundry detergent.
Yes.
And
that's coming up.
Kinds of,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be exciting.
Some natural alternatives to what is traditionally chemical compound products in the household.
Yes.
Okay. So is there anything else that we wanted to touch on today?
Wow. It's just, it's so exciting to hear from people. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to you and Honey for allowing me in this position I don't know everything. We're all on this path together and we're learning together, but how exciting to meet people and talk with people, and people are so excited about changing the things that they're doing.
I think people are just really great to hear from you, Dev, because, I mean, you've just got such an awesome testimony, and it's just so great to hear what has been happening in your life, and all the recipes that you have, and everything that you're, and you're just so excited about it, and it's contagious.
Well, and the thing is, we want people to be successful. That I'm so thankful that we were. It's really made such a difference in what I call my golden years. My golden years, baby, are going to be really something now. And I just want, you know, I want people to be successful. I don't want anything to be hard, and I just want to help, yeah. You know, any way
I can. It makes it easier when people see someone doing it first. They, you know, you come across some new information and you go, well, how do you do it? What do you do? Khani just had an experience where her sister said, oh, so you've got Milk Keep here. Can you send me some? Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, well, she's very health conscious. She's been very health conscious all her life, like far before I was. And
she's taught us a lot of things.
She has actually, yeah.
G'day, Kylie.
And she actually a few years ago sent me the dried kefir. The powdered kefir.
Yeah.
And back then I was just like, no, I don't know what this is. I'm not touching this. But anyway, and then when I got onto the kefir, and you, Deb, have been such an encouragement to me. And I was telling her how wonderful it is, and it's great. And she said, oh, well, send me some. That'd be awesome. And so I did. I sent her some last week, and it's just sort of sent her into this flat panic. She's emailing me and ringing me and saying, what do I do with them? And are they going to die? And how am I going to care for them? And I actually sent her to your website. And I said to her, now listen, watch these videos.
This is a lady that, you know, that doesn't know what she's doing either, but she's going to put it out there.
It makes it so much easier when you see someone and see someone doing it, you hear someone speaking about it in detail.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it helps because it's such a new thing.
It is new and it is daunting when you first start with it. But I mean, for those that are just starting out, just do what the person that's given them to you has told you to do. And then it'll all come together as you go along in the journey.
And you'll find it's actually not that scary. So the website, once again, is culturedkaraite.blogspot.com. Cultured with a K, culturedkaraite.blogspot.com. And Deb, thank you very much for coming back onto Truth to You and just sharing a little bit more about your walk in health.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is a blast.
It's great. And thank you to the listeners, because the listeners are they're sending some really good comments and some very good questions. And so we do appreciate those. So in the meantime, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.